Welcome everyone to Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayera, 5769, day number 36. 36? 36 of what?
Huh?
Of Zahirus.
Zahirus.
Some of you haven't been here in a while, so I will just review that we are studying this year the Parsha through the eyes of the path of the just. Or, we are studying the path of the just through the eyes of the Parsha. But we have embarked on a real journey on the path of the just, which consists of 10 steps, 10 virtues to shlemus, to completeness, following prescription laid out in the Talmud, and then expanded and expounded by Rabbi Luzzatto, and we are following with the advice of a sage who said that to really acquire a virtue, you need to be totally engaged in that virtue for 40 days at a time. And so when I say day 36, that means that we have been focusing on this particular virtue, Zahirus, vigilance, watchfulness, for 36 days. And we're almost finished with Zahirus. So I knew coming in today that today would be like the grand finale for Zahirus. But let me share with you a little incident that occurred last night. I walked into the Beis Midrash, and I was supposed to learn with somebody, but he hadn't come yet. And I was in that room over there. And then a wonderful fellow, friend of mine, a very active member of the community, comes in and he says, "Rabbi Goldberger, do you mind if I share a little perspective with you?" I said, "Please." He says, "Do you know what's going on in the world out there? Do you know that people are terrified and they don't know what to do with themselves over the financial situation?" And I said, "Well, a little bit, obviously not as much as somebody who's got investments, but tell me more." And he says, "People don't really know how to react. They want to react Jewishly." I'm talking about, you know, the Jewish people. "And I think it would be remiss if in all of our teaching and learning that we do not address people's concerns. The Torah is not something which is disconnected from reality. It's for the world. Torah's Chaim. It's the world. It's the Torah of living." I sat there and listened to him, and I respect everything he says. And I was just—it touched me deeply, and I wanted very much to respond. And I was thinking of responding in this forum. But we have a program. We have a plan. We have an agenda. Zahirus. So I thought about it more and more, and I've been thinking about this ever since last night. And it hit me. It hit me like a thunderbolt that Rabbi Luzzatto speaks to us on this. And particularly in the chapters that we have studied so far. That is chapter 1, which is the general discussion of man's duty in his world, and then on to the virtue of Zahirus, of watchfulness. And it hit me even further that it's one of the major themes of the Parsha. So I'm going to very, very humbly, because I remember being present in yeshiva when there were particularly troubling times going on, maybe in the Middle East, and there were times when people were concerned and frightened, and the rabbis addressed the situation. They called it the matzav. The Hebrew means the situation. "Oh, the Rosh Yeshiva is going to speak about the matzav." And of course, they were always talks that uplifted us, and clarified things, and we walked away better for it. So I'm going to very, very humbly attempt to shed some light on the matzav and still remain faithful to our weekly charge. So with your permission, I will proceed. So what's the problem? What's happening? The problem is that we're having a problem with our money. It's affecting all sectors. It is affecting the wealthy. It is affecting the middle class. It is affecting the poor. Okay, Rabbi Luzzatto. What does he say about this? Ah, chapter 1. Page 9. And I'm not making light of it. I'm not trying to trivialize it. On the contrary, I'm trying to convince myself and to speak with others that whatever happens and whatever matzav we are in, this is part of Hashem's plan and part of the Torah, and it is not a foreign or a mistake or an accident. V'hinei samoh HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'adam b'makom sh'rabim bo ha'markikim oso mimenu yisbarach. Yet the Holy One, blessed be He, has placed man in circumstances where many factors can distance him from the Blessed One. Hem hem ata'avos ha'chamriyos, these being the bodily desires. Asher imimashech achrehen hinehu misrachek v'holech min hatov u'amiti. For if one is drawn toward them, he progressively distances himself from the ultimate good. V'nimtza shumusam be'emes b'soch ha'milchamo ha'chazaka. The result is that one really finds himself planted in the midst of a fierce battle. Ki chol inyanei ha'olam bein l'tov bein l'ra. For everything in this world, whether for good or bad, is there to test man. Ha'oni mitzad echad, v'ha'osher mitzad echad. Poverty on the one hand, wealth on the other. Kinyan shamar shlomo pen esba v'chichashti v'omarti mi Hashem ufen ivoresh v'gonavti v'sofasti shem Elokai. As Shlomo says, is similar to what Shlomo said in Mishlei 30, verse 9, lest I become satiated and deny him, saying, who is the eternal, lest I become impoverished and steal and misuse the name of my God. Hashalva mitzad echad v'hayisurin mitzad echad. Tranquility on one side is a test, and suffering on the other is a test. Ad shenimtes ha'milchama ila panim v'ochor. A person thereby finds himself at war both in front of him and in the rear. No matter where we turn, no matter what happens, no matter what the matzav situation, good or bad, it's a test. Now, granted, even as much as we've said so far requires an orientation and a certain level of faith and understanding. I mean, even to read this paragraph, I'm speaking to an informed, educated audience here. I'm not saying that you can go and just present this to the average person on the street, even the average Jew on the street. We have been learning for years, and we don't take this for granted. But let us carry the with us these foundations that we have thankfully been exposed to. So, all right. So everything's a test. Wealth on one hand, poverty on the other. So which test is it now? Are we in the test of wealth? Or are we in the test of poverty?
Poverty.
Okay. Clearly, we're in the test of poverty.
Young man.
Right? Not so fast. Not so fast. Let's put that question on hold for a minute, and let's refer to our parsha. So where does the Torah reference this idea of a test? Rabbi Luzzatto says that all of life is a test, a series of tests, one after the other. Where does it say that in the Chumash? Parashas Vayera. How convenient. And it happened after these things that God tested Avraham. This is the introduction to the story of the Akedah. And then we are told that this is the 10th test. He has been tested 10 times already. Started back in last week's Parsha. So Avraham has been tested all this time. And indeed, Pirkei Avos, that we quoted last week, says that Avraham endured 10 tests. I don't know if we quoted it. We were quoting a different list of 10 generations. But it also says that Avraham endured 10 tests, va'amad b'chulam, and he withstood all of them. So really, the initiation of the concept of tests is right here. Now, I was looking briefly through the footnotes, and two things caught my eye. The first is at the beginning of the Akedah, the tenth test, and just the beginning. This section epitomizes the Jews' determination to serve God no matter how difficult the circumstances, the very reason for Israel's existence. Paraphrasing Abarbanel, the great Spanish rabbi who lived during the golden age of Spain, and I think may have...
Did he live during the expulsion?
Yeah. He was also a statesman. Yes, right. Very good. He was in Wall Street. So this section epitomizes the Jews' determination to serve God no matter how difficult the circumstances. So here we have it. The story of the Akedah is not just a Bible story, but it is instructional. It is a model, an icon, if you will, for the Jewish people on how to deal with difficulties. The other quote that I saw was on page 54, at the beginning of Lech Lecha, where Abraham begins his career of testing. And there's one sentence which, just the way it was put, it just caught my eye. By definition, a heavenly test is one that forces a person to choose between God's will and his own nature or understanding of what is right. It forces a person to choose. When we are not when we're not having a big test, you could say we're not really forced to choose. We can kind of live complacently with our own nature or understanding of what is right, and we can kind of just mosey along in that way. But when a test comes up, it forces us to choose. All right. So with those few references to the idea of a test, let us go back to the Ramchal, to Rabbi Luzzatto, and let's revisit the question of what is our test now? So it hit me after thinking about it again that our test is not the test of poverty so far. Our test is the test of wealth. Because the test of wealth is, as Shlomo HaMelech puts it, pen esba v'chichashti ba'amarti mi Hashem, lest I become satiated and deny him, saying, who is the eternal? That is our test. As it says, to choose between God's will and his own nature or understanding of what is right. what, till this point in the history of our country, United States of America, actually more recent history, it has not always been easy sailing. This country has gone through very difficult chapters. But in the recent years, would we not agree that we have been blessed with wealth?
To excess.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a blessing. But
well, it's a test. But the result or the challenge of wealth is, who is the eternal? Who is God? I don't need him. I don't see him. I'm satisfied. I have everything I need. Who is God? Our suffering or our feeling of discomfort or our feeling of anxiety is the result of our wealth. We have been so accustomed to having plenty that we have been saying, who is God? For years. We are suddenly struck. We're not so sure how satisfied we're going to be. We're not so sure if that which we relied upon, our old faithful, our money, our economic success, our economic equilibrium, is so reliable. But that's who we've been relying on. That's what we've been relying on. We are so used to saying, who is God? The test from God is now, can we choose between our own nature or our own understanding of what is right, which is, who is God, to switch over to choose God's will, which is, there is God. That is, in general, the test that we are being, that we are faced with. And this is a group test, by the way. This is not an individual test, but this is a group test. This is a test of the whole world. It's not just the Jewish people, but the Jewish people are expected to try to be navigators in this test. So, how does one go about passing a test like this or taking a test like this? So, as I thought about it again, and wanting to stay faithful to our mission, Zihirus, I realized that Zihirus is the number one tool that we need in order to pass this test, in order to experience this or any test. What does Zihirus mean? Zihirus means thinking, not just living impulsively or thoughtlessly or habitually, not just running as the human instinct is, just keep working like a horse in battle, just running ahead and responding with the, you know, with the emotional highs and lows that just hit us like waves, but to proceed with zehirus, with watchfulness, with forethought, cheshbon ha-nefesh, making an accounting. Did anybody ever have a test, either individual or nation, as great as Avraham's test? As great as a test of the Akedah? Did anybody ever have such a test? That he had to take his own son and be the slaughterer? Has anyone ever been tested that way? I would think not. How did Avraham respond? How did he react? Did he run around frantically, not knowing what to do? I'll never forget this beautiful inference that when after Avraham was instructed to go to the Akedah, Pasuk 3, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, So Avraham woke up early in the morning and he saddled his donkey. So said the Kutzker Rebbe, he woke up? You mean he was sleeping? The night before going to the Akedah, he was sleeping? Would any father sleep at a time like that? Abraham did. Cool, calm, collected. Time to go to sleep. Time to wake up. Time to do Hashem's will. He wasn't running around frantic, even though he had the greatest test of all. This is the Hirus. So what do we think about when we do Zahirus? When we sit down at our regular daily Cheshbon HaNefesh session, what should we be thinking? Should we be thinking about creative ways to save our money? Or should we be thinking how we're going to weather this ordeal? Certainly. Certainly that's part of it. We have to always follow the principle of hishtadlus, of doing the right efforts. Even though Hashem is there and Hashem is running the world and Hashem is providing, but He doesn't do it in a miraculous way. He does it in a natural way. And therefore we have to continue vigilantly with our hishtadlus. Part of our hishtadlus is prayer, no doubt. That's part of the nature that Hashem set up. When you pray, I respond. So that's for sure has to be there. But that we would do any day. That's a given. What is the particular avodah, the particular service, the particular work for our nisayon? We are being tested now. What is the response to that? We certainly want to concentrate on doing what Avraham did throughout all of his tests. This is just a word thing. It says in Pirkei Avos, V'amad b'kulam, he stood. He stood through all of them. Standing. Just remain standing. Our goal is not to win, to conquer. Our goal is to stand straight and tall throughout the test. Not to lose it. Not to lose ourselves. Not to fly off the handle, but to stand firm and accept the test. And realize that if it is a time of a test, then we do have special work to do. Besides the regular hishtadlus, effort, and tefillah, and prayer, we also have a different kind of a work to do. The work that we learned about in the footnote. We have to work on choosing God's will over our own nature and understanding. There are famous words, I know that I've quoted it here on occasion, probably in reference to the tochacha, the horrific admonitions in the Torah, in Vayikra and also in Devarim. But I think that it bears repeating here, because this is all part of that test and part of that choosing. The Rambam says that it is a positive mitzvah. This is the laws of taniyot, of fast. According to the Talmud, fasts are not just fast days which are preset and designated on the calendar, but fast days are days which are instituted by the sages in response to trying times and tests. So the Rambam writes that there's a positive mitzvah in the Torah to cry out and to sound trumpets in the event of any difficulty that arises, which affects the community. And he quotes a verse. Whenever you are distressed by difficulties, cry out to God because of them, and sound the trumpets. This practice is one of the paths to repentance. For when a difficulty arises and the people cry out to God and sound the trumpets, everyone will realize that the difficulty occurred because of their evil conduct. As Jeremiah states, your sins have turned away the rains and the harvest climate. This realization will cause the removal of this difficulty. Wow. How did that work? A realization causes the removal of the difficulty? Well, of course. Because if the purpose of the difficulty is to force man to choose God's will over our own nature and understanding, that was the reason why the difficulty was presented. Well, once man makes that choice, then the test has done its due. We're finished. The test now goes away. Conversely, should the people fail to cry out to God, and by the way, it always happens whenever you read something that mentions the word evil or sins, everyone cringes and says, who's pointing fingers? No one's pointing fingers. But if it is true that we have been living the life of the wealthy man who says, who is God, then we've all been guilty. We've all been guilty of living without fully embracing God. And when we say embracing God, we mean to the point that what we rely on is Him and not the other things. So clearly, if we as a people, as a society, have been living with that who is God mentality, then there is something to improve and to correct. But anyways, conversely, says the Rambam, should the people fail to cry out to God and sound the trumpets, and instead say, what has happened to us is merely a natural phenomenon, and this difficulty is merely a chance occurrence. Or, to put it in contemporary terms, yes, the market takes a downturn approximately every 13 years, according to statistics, and it will last, projections will last, 13 months, etc., etc., and then we will, it'll come back to normal. All of this talk, I don't know if that's what they're saying, but these are the words of the Rambam. What has happened to us is merely a natural phenomenon. This difficulty is merely a chance occurrence. So, says the Rambam, what if we take that path and we give that response? This is a cruel conception of things, which causes them to remain attached to their wicked deeds, because no change was made. The choice was not made to choose God's will over our nature. And what was the other word? Nature and understanding.
Yeah.
And this time of distress will lead to further distresses. Because if the test didn't work, if the situation didn't force man to make those choices, then there may have to be additional tests. So by reacting in this way, we are actually causing the situation to remain the same and to possibly intensify. This is implied by the Torah statement, if you remain indifferent to me, I will be indifferent to you with a vengeance. The implication of the verse is, when I bring difficulties upon you so that you shall repent, and you say it is a chance occurrence, I'm hoping that you will choose my will or a new realization. And if you don't choose that and you just remain in your old attitudes, I will add to your punishment an expression of vengeance for that indifference. Famous words of the Rambam.
What book are you reading from?
Mishnah Torah.
It's in English?
It has a translation, yeah. So, where were we? We have special work to do during a test. besides the work, the normal work of hishtadlus, and doing so with faith. But we have a work of changing, of choosing. Okay, practically, what can we do? There's a lot of hashkafa, there's a lot of perspective that needs to be spoken about and taught, but what can we do practically? Back to Zahirus. Rabbi Luzzatto gives us practical steps. I think that the most, perhaps the most instructive would be what he writes in chapter 5, factors that undermine vigilance and how to avoid them. Because one of the most difficult parts of going through a nisayon is that we don't clear the path of all of the obstacles. And that's in general a problem with Zahiris. We cannot positively become Zahirim, vigilant people, if we don't remove first the obstacles. What are the obstacles that prevent us from becoming Zahirim, which, if we have Zahiris, it will enable us to properly navigate our test? He says there are three primary factors. Number one, involvement and preoccupation with worldly matters. Preoccupation. When a person is preoccupied with worldly matters, his thoughts become constricted by the pressures that are imposed upon them, and it becomes impossible to pay attention to one's actions. The sages of blessed memory were moved to comment, limit your other involvement and be involved with the Torah. It is true, of course, that worldly involvement is necessary for one's livelihood. However, this shouldn't necessitate increasing one's involvement to such an extent that it prevents him from serving the Eternal. To counter this, we have been commanded to designate specific times for Torah study. So here is a practical scenario that could result in this test. A person could come home one day and say, "Honey, the times are bad out there. I've decided that in order to try to weather this, I'm going to spend more time at work." Just failed the test. Right? You just followed your natural instinct and, forget those words, your nature and your understanding instead of choosing God. The proper thing would be, you know, honey, every time I go to the office, I get more and more sick over this. In order to deal properly with this situation, I've decided that I'm going to come home 1 hour earlier. And I'm going to study Torah during that hour. Yay! You just passed that test. I'm not making light of this. This is what Rabbi Luzzatto teaches us is the correct response in for Zahirus. Number two. I just show you a little funny anecdote on this. A man who was a merchant, and he had much, much merchandise on a ship, just got the news that the ship sunk, and all of the merchandise that he had already paid for was gone. He gets a message a messenger comes to the house and informs him, you know, all pandemonium broke out, and there's the husband and the wife. And after a little while, the wife looks around and she sees her husband engrossed, immersed in the sefer, and he's studying. And she runs over to him and says, "Uncle, how can you study at a time like this? Aren't you worried?" And he says, "Yes, my dear, but I worried already. I'm finished worrying. Now I'm studying." I worried already. How much can we worry? I'm not saying we should not be mishtadel. We should not take efforts. We must. But first factor that undermines vigilance and will ultimately undermine our ability to stand in this test is to get more involved in worldly affairs rather than more involved with study. Number two, Leitzanus. Leitzanus is an attitude problem. It is frivolity and derision. It is when you make light of things, when you scoff at them, when you're cynical at them. This is an attitude which is harder to remove than the first obstacle. The first obstacle, you know, it's difficult, but you can just set your calendar. Say, from now on, I'm coming home an hour early and I'm going to study. Okay, that's something that's within your power. An attitude of cynicism or derision is much harder to remove. It's like a stain in your character. And what I mean by that is people who would say, when they hear this kind of a talk, rather than my friend who says, let's hear what the Torah has to say to us, a cynical person would say, what does that Torah have to do with anything? These sages, they're in the dark. They probably never step foot into the marketplace. Forget about what they have to say. Let's speak to the experts. Let's speak to the analysts. Let's get on the web and find out what we can do to lick this. That's an attitude problem. That is a Leitzanus, where this person will have a very hard time passing this test because he doesn't even want to hear that it is a test. That's something that also is a great obstacle, impediment to Zahirus and ultimately to passing this test. And number three, and this may account for most of what we experience, is Chevra Ra'ah. The third factor leading to the loss of vigilance is the company one keeps. The company one keeps, i.e. being in the company of fools and sinners. Now again, don't cringe at those words. I'm not talking about people that are they're indecent. I'm talking about people who don't understand that there is a God in the world, and they don't understand this. And they are caught up in the illusion of who is the eternal, who is God. And the same problem is they're all over. And they're around us, and they're among us, and they're inside of us. And we're among them. But if we continue to stay among them and associate with them and accept them as the standard bearers and as the experts, rather than those who hold on to this, we're just going to be swept up into it. And we'll just think that way ourselves. So there has to be some, again, we can't separate ourselves entirely because we live in a world, in a material world. But we, and maybe in our mind, we have to say, you know, this is the office environment, that this is the environment which teaches the values of Hashem and Torah. And make that separation. And if you can make that separation, you can associate that, you will have a much better time. We will have a much better time absorbing the proper messages and having the proper reactions. So again, what are practical things that can be done to make ourselves successful and to be doing the right work that we should at a time of trying time during a Nisayon? They are a minimizing or decrease of worldly involvement, substituting over to involvement in Torah study and contemplation, the attempt to try to soften some of our attitudes that are such repellents of the word of Torah, and also to try to break association mentally from those who would be proper role models and peers, to approach this in a Torah way and those who would not. To conclude, what, let's say we buy into this, and let's say that we accept, A, God is running the world, B, there are such things as tests, C, there is a way to respond, which is not the instinctive one, not the natural one, but the one that the Torah teaches us is the proper one. Let's say we buy into that. What do we have to look forward to? What's the payoff? What's the gain? So just a few words from Rabbi Luzzatto back in the same paragraph that we started about this world being a world of tests. Ve'im yihyeh levin chayil, back to page 9. If he is valiant, v'natzach ha-milchama mikol hatzadin, and wins a total victory in this war. What does that mean? Victory, does that mean that I didn't lose my portfolio? It means I withstood the test without losing myself, without losing my faith, without losing my composure. He will have perfected himself and will be able to cleave to his Creator. Now he goes on to speak about the effect that it will have on him for eternity, but I would like to, you know, use that as a, you know, also a promise for our own spiritual and psychological well-being. He will leave the corridor and enter the palace, permeated with the glow of life. And I believe that this can be experienced in this world too, to an extent. And to the degree that he has conquered his evil inclination and desires, and withdrawn himself from those factors that distance him from what is good. In other words, the more he has been able to choose between God's will and his will, the more he has been able to make that shift from the worldly to the spiritual, the more he has been able to cleanse himself of the cynicism, the more that he has been able to separate himself from the evil company, and has striven to cleave to him, to that extent, he will attain his goal and find joy within it. The payoff is being closer to God and finding true joy. That's what we have to gain. Worry is replaced with joy. Frantic is replaced with calm. Illusion is replaced with the spiritual reality of living where we know that there is God. I will end off with something that I saw, second conclusion. I never knew this, but I have quoted sometimes the Sifsei Chaim, Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, who was a great giant of Mussar. He was one of the prime students of Rav Dessler, and I had the merit to actually hear from him and learn from him for 1 year in Israel. Several years after I had left from that yeshiva and returned to America, I heard that he had gotten sick with cancer and that he was hospitalized in New York. And after he passed away at the age of 63, mm-hmm. which I didn't even know his age until I read it, all of these svarim came out from his children and of his writings. And I knew about, but I didn't realize that in the first volume he has pages and pages of things that he wrote down in his own personal notebooks of how he worked on himself during troubling times. And they print it here. They print his own personal diary. And this particular collection that I'm going to read an excerpt from was written in 1948 when he didn't even live in Jerusalem. He lived in B'nai Brak, but he was visiting in Jerusalem, or I don't know, he was there for a certain amount of time. And he ended up getting stuck there because of the independence war. And he spent many days in a bomb shelter. And so they have writings that they published of things that he wrote in the bomb shelter. And the collection of writings is called Hava Nireh Es Yad Hashem Yisparach. Let us see the hand of Hashem. So there's a number of different points. Aleph through Ches, 1 to 8, and then there's other writings too, but I just wanted to point out two things. Number one, Aleph, that he wrote in his notebook, is Lishmoa es kol Hashem hakore elai. Hear the voice of Hashem that is calling out to me. And he writes this on Pesach Sheni, the month after Pesach, Yom Aleph, Sunday, Tashuv, I guess that's the year, 1948. Tzarich l'shanein l'atzmi, I need to repeat to myself, ulahargish b'libi, and to feel in my heart, shehashem yisbarach, that Hashem may he be blessed, korei osi mitocha yisurim ho'ela, is calling me amidst these troubles. Umitoch pachad ha'moveth shebo aleinu, and indeed, in the shadow of death, that engulfs us. V'tzarich lishmoa mitoch ze es kol Hashem shekorei elai, and I need to listen through this the voice of Hashem calling out to me. V'kol mashak v'kol kamosh ani margish as hayisurim. I don't understand that line. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't read it through all. But that's that title. Hashem is calling me. Hashem is calling us. Hashem is calling us on a world scale, just like he was calling out to us in 2001. A little sign. He was calling us, but we have to hear him calling. And what is he saying to us? Don't say, who is the eternal? Right? Let's try to switch over the paradigm shift, the American dream, to recognizing Ani Hashem. And another thing which is very beautiful. Hayesurim melamdim shalom nitba be'ergel hayom yomi. Suffering teaches us not to drown in the daily habit and custom. He says, the reason why suffering comes upon us, upon me, in the place of the ordinary day-to-day routine which blinds us, is to teach us that really Hashem performs kindness every single day with us. He's coming to show me that the bread which I receive every day is not something that should be taken for granted. It's possible that I might not have so much bread. And that water is something great and kind, a special gift from Hashem. It's possible that water may be scarce. And even the air that we breathe and the sunlight is something which is a present from Hashem. And we need to have a merit to receive it. Because right now, we are in a shelter. We have very little fresh air and very little light. It is such a chesed, and it should not be taken for granted. Whenever we have peace, whenever we don't have to fear for our life, and to enjoy all of these beautiful gifts. And these are some of the lessons that Hashem wants to teach us during this time. This is what a great man, a man who has devoted himself to Torah hashkafa, to Torah way of thinking, this is what he thinks about when he goes through trials. And this is certainly what Avraham Avinu was thinking about. And because he thought about it and because he introduced that into this world, we have that inside of us. And we have the great ability and the spiritual strength to receive and to welcome tests in the same way. Just have to remember that it's so easy to react in the other way. and that that is really our work. Our work is, yes, continue to be mishtadel, continue to use our seichel, our minds, and our acumen, and continue, of course, to make choices and make good choices in the mundane sense, but also remember that this is an opportunity that we are not always given to choose great things. And he also says in a different paragraph that in times like this, the dividends, the rewards for the mitzvahs that we do, and the even thoughts of faith have great, much greater paybacks because it's harder. And when it's harder, the reward is greater. And the opportunity to grow within ourselves is great as well. So I hope that some of these thoughts are applicable to the situation, and that we should at the very least, you know, don't take these words as authoritative or as exhaustive or maybe even on mark, but let's remember that there definitely is, as students of Torah, there definitely is a Torah approach to all that happens in the world. Asher Kalach.
Rabbi, I came in a few moments late. Who was the person who laid down this challenge to you yesterday?
I didn't say his name.
Oh.
I don't think he'll mind if I tell you.
It's not important.
Okay.
I just...
Okay. Well, he should get merit too. Yes, Linda.
It seems that it's
I'm
not...
I'm so sorry to hear that news.
I'm sorry, what was the news? Dan, what was the news?
One of our medical friends expired yesterday.
Do you
a leader in medicine here in the city.
What was it today?
Barry's.
Mark's. No, but not Barry's.
Mark's.
He was the leader of the symposium that you attended.
Really? So this is a sudden thing?
Apparently so.
Oh.
He died of a coronary yesterday.
Yeah. I saw the obituary in the paper.
Did you know him also?
No, I didn't.
I did.
He was the head of the Fuqua Center of Cardiology of Piedmont.
His brother's a cardiologist.
And
did you know this news?
I just saw it right before I came over. I didn't read the paper until late this morning.
Mm. Linda, I'm sorry, you had a question.
There has to be
excuse me, I have to get back to work.
In your thinking, when you're thinking about others, like your children, let's say your child, you're just about to put your child in college and your finances collapse. I mean, it's one thing to withstand. Well, I mean, faith in Hashem at that point is never going to be okay. But, you know, when you're thinking about others, it's a little rougher, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you've got people depending on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same answer. You can only be rewarded by becoming closer to the Hashem.
Right, right. I mean, you know, we didn't answer all the questions, and really, a person does. I should have mentioned that. You know, we're speaking in very general terms. There are questions that a person has to deal with if resources are not available that used to be, you know, one has to decide what to do. What are our priorities? You know, we may have to start prioritizing things that we didn't before. For sure that has to be done, and that has to be done. But what I'm speaking more to is the remaining, I'm speaking more to this comment that people are petrified, and there is a feeling of despair or of chaos, and what's going on here. I'm really speaking more to that. But this does not preclude, just as we do hishtadlus, just as we have to take steps to do the right things, you know, for Parnassa, there's also steps that have to be taken and decisions that have to be made, no question. But and it may turn out to be something which, you know, forces us to prioritize, which sometimes forcing is also good. You know, makes us make decisions that we didn't have to make before. Put values, you know, prioritizing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Esher Koch.
Good Shabbos.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.